This is the Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City on Classic Rock 99.5.
This is Big Daddy, your host, as we salute 30 years of Saturday in the Park. Our special guest today is the guy that put it all together in the beginning. His name is Dave Bernstein. David, thank you for coming in and reliving some of these memories we just got done listening to.
The Nevilles.
The Neville brothers. Kurt St. Cyr and Boogie Chillen were on that bill, too.
Sure. Kurt played, you know, there's a few people that played a lot. Kurt was one of them, two or three or four different bands. My brother Ben played quite a few times. Ray McAvoy played like 1,000 times.
Ray was,
you know, every year Ray had a different band. T. Wilson King played a few times.
T, yeah. Of course, I have to ask you to tell the story about somebody who came down the night before the event and dug a hole in the ground and put a keg in there. Can you tell me about that?
And I think that was the year that we had Brian Setzer and Robert Crane. It wasn't my brother, but my brother was the one that got the whole thing busted open. Brilliantly, they came down a couple days before. They dug a hole right in the middle. There's a little patch of grass right in front of the stage. They dug a hole. They peeled off the sod first, put a board over the hole, and then the sod back on the board. And then they left. You know, that night, probably 2-3 in the morning, they carried a keg into the park, dropped the keg in the hole, and put the board back over it with the sod. And then Saturday morning, they came in, they put a little mini tent up in the middle, and then tapped the keg. I like to go, you know, down right in front and watch the show. So I went down to see Brian Setzer, and I'm standing there with some buddies, and I look and I see this mini tent, and I'm like, oh, you know, like, your brain doesn't really fully process. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Someone brought a little tent. They probably have a little baby in there they're keeping out of the shade. That's so thoughtful of them with their little baby. And then I see the tent unzip on its own, and out of the tent comes my brother with two keg cups full of beer. He looks at me and he goes, oh, you know, I figured out what was going on. And the only thing that ticked me off about that whole thing was when those guys left, they left the hole. It was brilliant. It was beyond brilliant. I fully appreciated what they did. Like, I had the utmost respect for their brilliance, except they left the hole. So we had to go get dirt at like 11 o'clock at night to fill the hole. And so no one, like, you know, broke their leg in the hole. So it was pretty brilliant.
Was it about that time that you really noticed the crowds were starting to really pop in?
The crowds got pretty big right away. The crowds got big for the Nevilles. They got really big for Santana in 94. Really big. Brian Setzer was really on a roll that year, and I rode a pretty good wave with Brian Setzer. I think I did about 5 Brian Setzer shows or 4 Brian Setzer shows over the course of a couple of years, really at his peak. And it was just luck. I booked him, I think, initially for a Gateway private, and then had him play Saturday in the Park, and then I had him play the convention center, and then I had him play another Gateway Christmas party, all kind of riding that wave. So, but that was a big year, and that was a great, great, great show. So in like 94, when we had Santana, that was the first massive crowd that we had. The Nevilles were big, but people didn't really know the Nevilles. Like, we got a lot of bang for our buck with the Nevilles because you had Aaron Neville doing his thing, you know, with the most probably beautiful voice out there. And then you had the Neville brothers doing the, you know, the more eclectic thing that I loved. So we got a couple different crowds for that. But then you bring in Santana, and Santana's a band that, you know, people are paying $50 to go see at the time. You look out over the crowd, and it's just packed. And I remember standing on the stage right before Santana went on with Rob Trinan, who was the basically stage production manager at the time, both standing on that stage. And Rob looks at me and he goes, we have no idea what we're doing. And I was like, dude, shut up. And he goes, oh, seriously, like, we're in so far over our head right now. You know, it's kind of Rob kind of talked that way at the time. And I was like, dude, stop. Like, I know you're right, but we don't need to talk about this right now because there's like 20,000 people. That was a great feeling. It was a little scary. You realize when there's that many people out there that you can't control what's going on. I mean, you can stop the show, pulls the plug on everything, people take off. But you don't want to do that. All you can do is kind of nudge it around and set the right vibe. And that's where having it free is so good, because free gives the right vibe, right? There's this good vibe of respect. There's this good vibe of, like, people's anticipations are super low. They can be, because they're not paying anything. So, you know, you go pay $150 to go see the Black Crowes, whoever.
Right.
And they have an off night and you're pissed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come to Saturday in the Park and you see the Black Crowes, you didn't pay one dime.
Right.
You might not even know them. I mean, the Avetts were the perfect example of that. So many people showed up to see the Avett brothers. They had no idea who those guys were, but it was free and their heads were blown off. You know, so, and it's the same with the artists, because the artists show up and they're just seeing Sioux City, you know, on a Saturday night, like, what the hell? Like, I don't know. And then they roll in, like, whoa. Thought I was playing like a fairground or something,
right.
You know, with a bunch of dirt, you know, and then this is really beautiful. People are usually pretty fired up and happy, and it's really optimistic when your expectations are exceeded. And Saturday in the Park does that, in part because it's free. But that's kind of the vibe.
But you know what's funny about that is people will still complain about the musical selection. I can't believe you're having this. Isn't there? Who's the big headliner? What are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I will say this. Every Saturday in the Park I've been to, I might not know who some of the performers are, but I'm a fan when I leave that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's something that's really aggravating, and that's something that I can tell you from doing it for so long, can really get into your head. You know, the committee who's like, we have the most wonderful committee planning this deal, and it's like, I mean, it literally is family, including I've had many family members on it as well. My mom, you know, for a long time. Ben, my brother, my dad's super supportive. Yeah, I mean, they're always supportive, right? But you can tell. You know, we had a run before Flo Rida where people were like, Dave lost his mojo, you know, which I never really had any mojo. And then I booked Flo Rida, and everyone's like, oh, he's back. You know, man, he's brilliant. And I'm just like, that was the luckiest, like, Hail Mary. Like, that was just dumb luck, Flo Rida. But you're right, and it really pisses you off when you're putting on this free festival and you bring in, you know, Jason Isbell was one. I mean, Jason Isbell, that guy is epic. And, you know, he played here for free, and people didn't know him, so they were kind of crappy about it. And I was like, well, then don't come.
Yeah.
You know, we don't care. This guy's amazing. You know, there's so many people, Trombone Shorty, I mean, you know, the Revivalist, Joss Stone that year, you know, the Casey Musgrave year. I mean, there was a couple years there where it was really good artists. You know, the one I laugh about is Casey Musgrave, because it's kind of the country thing, and it was good because she's like hip country, but literally like 2 years after we had her headline, people were emailing us, you know who you should get for Saturday in the Park? Casey Musgraves. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, we had Casey Musgraves 2 years ago. That must have happened five times.
She was winning every award in country music and Grammys at the time that you had her here. It was an incredible run of luck.
Yeah, and she was good. Personally, at least have a different list of maybe top 10. You know, we've always had artists that I think, you know, a lot of other festivals would be psyched to have them. I did get lucky on Flo Rida, by the way. I mean, I had no idea.
You got lucky on CeeLo Green, too.
Yeah, CeeLo Green. CeeLo Green was completely premeditated. CeeLo Green was me calling Rick, who I book with and who books for us, and saying, hey, check out CeeLo. You know, that song is too big. Mm-hmm. And I also am sensing that, you know, he's sort of a one-hit guy because Gnarls Barkley, who I loved and saw at Lollapalooza, and they were amazing. You know, he had broken off from Gnarls Barkley was just CeeLo and Danger Mouse. And so I knew, like, he probably didn't have that much of a show. And you know, the number was, like, I was shocked when Rick got back to me with the number. I think it was 100K at the time. I was just like, hey, just book him. Let's go. You know, and it was CeeLo and Ben Harper. And it was a weird mix. You know?
Was that the biggest show you've ever had at Saturday in the Park?
I think CeeLo's set may have been the most crowded it's ever been. And I will tell you, there was one thing that happened right before CeeLo's set. Right before he went on, I remember being on the stage, moving something or whatever, and there was an electricity that I have never felt there right before that guy went on. It was weird. There was nothing going on. I don't know if it was partly the weather or whatever, but the vibe in the crowd was just kind of chill and silent with anticipation. It was that year of the flood, 2011, so everyone was freaking out and they were just ready to cut loose. There's this moment like right before an artist goes on where the stage is cleared. There's no more deckhands. All the stagehands are off, you know, their crew's off, and they're just waiting for the artist to come up and go on. And there's this weird energy, and it was so intense before CeeLo went on, and then the crowd just went crazy when that guy came out. And then, of course, they had, you know, the crazy videos with the women eating bananas, and then I was like, oh, those are great videos. Oh, man, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
You know, and then the mayor freaked out. Not Bob Scott, different mayor, kind of made some comments, and I had to apologize for that.
Because, you know, he had some F-bombs that were flying, if I remember right.
No, but CeeLo never said it.
Didn't he?
CeeLo, in that whole song that he was so famous for, he never said it. He just kept holding the mic out. 20,000 people sang it. But CeeLo never said it. Because he knew. And CeeLo was great. Like, he wasn't coming, I don't think. And it turns out a buddy of mine in L.A. who I went to college with, who we used to work together afterwards. We had a promoting company there. He called me, like, that week. And he's like, how's it going? I was like, it's not going great because I can't get any flight info on CeeLo. And he's like, CeeLo Green? It's like, yeah. He goes, dude, I know his manager. I'll call you right back. And he calls me back. He's like, well, the good news. The bad news is he wasn't coming. He was probably going to blow it off. The good news is he's coming now. And then, so we figured out what flight he was on. And then they called me from the airport and they said he didn't get on the flight. And then my buddy called me and said he chartered a plane. He's flying the next day. But CeeLo was great because CeeLo rolled in and right away asked for me. And I've never had an artist do this. And he walked up and he said, "Hey, I'm CeeLo." I was like, "I know." And put out his hand. He said, "Thanks for bringing me," you know. And he was good.
Saturday.
And then he went to DQ afterwards and got blizzards. And the people in DQ lost their minds. Like, they emptied the DQ. You could have gone, cleared out all the tills, you know. They're all getting autographs outside.
We're saluting 30 years of Saturday in the Park. Our guest today is David Bernstein. My name is Big Daddy. We're going to take a break. I want to come back and talk to you about some of the volunteers and some of the sponsorships that make this thing work. That's coming up.
This is the Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City on Classic Rock 99.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, all over the world, please put your hands together for six-time Grammy winner, Mr. Buddy Guy!
Thank you. the blues. Yeah. I got the blues. Look here. I got the blues. I got the blues. I got the blues.
This is the Saturday in the Park 30th Anniversary Special, presented by Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Sioux City on Classic Rock 99.5.